We are thrilled to welcome you to the fourth episode of Tap Talk. In today's episode, we'll explore the significance of career counselors for service members transitioning to civilian life. The role of a career counselor is crucial in ensuring that service members successfully transition to civilian life and find fulfilling careers. By providing guidance, support, and resources, they help service members navigate this complex process with confidence and ease. Remember to stay connected with us on all social media platforms to gain access to a wealth of information, job opportunities, hiring events, and tips that will help you succeed in your job search. Let's begin our fourth episode of Tap Talk by introducing Ali Araco, a career counselor and a CSP advisor from Fort Liberty.
Hey, good afternoon. It is great to be back here on our fourth podcast. I'm really excited. Before we get going today, I want to tell you, we've had a bunch of great comments and lots of viewers. Well over 1,000 people from all over the world have watched our first three podcasts. We've talked about the Army partnership and your success. We've talked about the Veterans Administration, and we've given an initial overview of TAP. So we're really excited. I tell you, we've got a great one today. We've got a great guest. I want to thank and welcome Ali Araco, is our contract installation manager at really one of the biggest installations on earth, and that is Fort Liberty, USA, formerly Fort Bragg. And just before we get into the TAP, you all know, and I'm a little biased, but when America calls 911, the phone rings just outside of Fayetteville, North Carolina, something like 50,000 soldiers stationed there. And boy, it's a great place to serve. And I really appreciate, Ali, what you do for those soldiers in running the contract counseling effort. And I want to talk to you about that. Got a lot of good secrets that you're going to share, a good perspective. So first, Ali, just kind of tell us, how did you end up here? How did you become the SIM at Liberty?
All right. Well, I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to join you today. I'm so excited to be here. And I am an active duty military spouse. So my spouse has been in the Army for about 7 years. We actually come from Texas. And 3 years ago, we got PCS orders and came to North Carolina. And I discovered the transition assistance program. I was instantly so excited about it when I heard about it. And I have been here ever since. So I've been here for about 2.5 years now.
Great. Well, you are at the center of the universe, and you're at a great TAP center, really, to learn how things are done well. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you as our host today, to talk about some of those things that you do really well that others need to know. And I'll ask you a few questions about what soldiers need to know and then what leaders need to know here in a couple of minutes. But first, I want to talk about the term counselor. Now, we've got across the globe something like 600 to 700 counselors or support staff, depending on how you count the numbers. And a lot of people get confused about the types of counselors. I mean, there's all kinds, I guess, right? From marriage counselors to drug and alcohol. But you and your team really focus on career counseling. What exactly is that?
So absolutely, you're right. It is a little bit different. And while some of us do have a background in, you know, education, social work, VA counseling, we are here not really to provide that clinical counseling, but we're here to really focus on that transition piece. So of course, if a service member comes in to talk to us and they say, you know, I'm struggling with addiction, I'm struggling with mental health, of course, we are going to help them get connected to those appropriate professionals, so those clinical counselors.
Yeah, that's a good point. So really, if something comes in, and we see across the Army about 100,000 soldiers a year, that's a huge number. that transition off of active duty, active guard and reserve. Some of them are ETSing, some of them are retirees, and some of them are demobilizing. So obviously with 100,000 people, that brings 100,000 personal, individual challenges and opportunities. So I think what you just said is that if your career counselors, really employment counselors, see somebody who might have some other challenges, really they plug them into the right process, because here in the Army, we've got programs, we have a lot of programs and to help a lot of soldiers. So that's a good thing to know, and I appreciate that. So I use the term kind of a bumper sticker, really, to go early and go often. And what we're trying to do is get soldiers to start this TAP thing way in advance. Are there some advantages to that, Allie? What do you think? Does that work? And what can we do to kind of get the word out?
I'm so glad you asked. Absolutely. So that is my first and foremost suggestion to anyone who's looking to start their transition process, start getting ready to separate from the military, whether that's ETS or retirement. Go early and go often. And I don't know if all service members listening may know this already, but they can start their ETS process with TAP at 18 months from their ETS date. And then retirees can start even sooner. They can start at 24 months. And one of the biggest advantages of starting that early is they get an overview of their resources at the very beginning of their transition journey. Mm-hmm. And I hear often from service members, you know, there's so many resources out there, which is wonderful, but it can be overwhelming. So when they get that opportunity to get acquainted with their resources, to know what's out there, they get a chance to know what is the best fit for them and their families. And that really helps to set them up for success.
You know, that's a good point. So you said, I want to make sure that I got this and everybody got this right. So retirees can and are encouraged to start TAP 24 months before their retirement date, and ETSers 18 months before their retirement date. And again, the retirement date, and this confuses a lot of people, I know, but it's the date on your DD-214. A lot of people might have 2 or 3 months of terminal leave or something prior to that where they might take the uniform off, but they're still on the payroll. And that's what we call the transition date, retirement or the ETS date. All right. That's good to know. So what are some of the advantages? Why is it important to go early? What's the point? I mean, who cares? What does that do? Something good.
That really gives you the best window to take advantage of all the different tools out there. So I think you mentioned earlier, there's so many departments within the Army, right? There's so many programs. When you have a short window of time, of course, we're going to do everything we can to still help you get connected, help you take advantage of whatever is still available to you. But when you start at that beginning mark of 18 months or 24 months from separation, that's when you have time to learn about your education benefits, your VA benefits. Mm-hmm. You get to learn, you know, what is the timeline that's best for housing and transportation. For career skills programs, you know, if they start TAP early, then they're able to get everything in motion to do an internship or an apprenticeship or on-the-job training, so that when they roll out, you know, they hit that transition date or that terminal leave date, they may already have a job in place. They may be set up to go from their last Army paycheck straight into their next civilian paycheck. And that gives the service member and their family so much peace of mind in a time that can be really chaotic and really turbulent.
Well, you brought up about 20 good points in that last paragraph. I don't know. I do want to talk in a few minutes about the career skills program. So that's definitely something that I really want your observation, and we're going to chat about here in a couple of minutes. But, you know, we found out after a little research that soldiers who begin this TAP process early are 2 times as likely to get a good job, or I'm sorry, to get any job, and soldiers who start late. So for the leaders out there who are watching this, and the soldiers as well, simple question. How many of you want your soldiers to get a job when they transition? And the answer is everybody. And the best way to do that is to get them in this process early. So I tell people, TAP is like PT, like physical training, in that you don't wait until a few weeks before your PT test. and try to do push-ups for 8 hours a day and get ready. It just doesn't work that way. You got to do them, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes a day, 3 or 4 times a week for months and months and months and months and months, and then you'll be ready. Just to let that stuff, and you mentioned it, so many programs, so much help, so many benefits. It takes a while for that to sink into your head. So that's a great point. So what other advice do you have for soldiers? You said go early. And what else? What about go often? What does that mean, by the way, go often? Does that mean do the same thing over and over again? What are we talking about?
So when we say go often, we're encouraging soldiers, reach out to us. Your TAP counselor is here to really, you know, help you with whatever you bring to the table. So kind of like we mentioned earlier, we're not clinical counselors, but if someone does come to us and they're expressing that they're struggling, we're going to get them connected. And that goes for pretty much any other area. I have service members coming to me all the time asking, how do I get orders? How do I get my things moved? You know, how do I get my family set up? How do I transfer my GI Bill? And I'm not the subject matter expert necessarily in VA benefits or transportation or transition, you know, as far as DD 214 and orders, but I will connect those service members to the offices that can help them. So even if, you know, a service member has a question and they think, you know, maybe that's not in the TAP wheelhouse, ask us anyway. We're here to help you and we're happy to get you connected. So if we can't answer the question, we'll find you someone who can.
Boy, that's a great angle, frankly, I hadn't even thought about. And that is you all kind of the center of the wheel, and you know the spokes that go all the way around the wheel. You might not be in charge, and you're certainly not in charge of how you clear your housing or finance or where do I turn in my TA-50. But those are the kind of questions that a transitioning soldier is asking, along with where do I want to live? What do I want to do? How much money do I need to make? Those kind of questions. They're all kind of intermingled. So, and I would say the solution is improved by going through this process early. I'm not sure if I've said that enough, go early and go often. That's kind of a common phrase, but early will solve a lot of problems. You know, I've told people years ago, before I retired, one of my soldiers was retiring, a great soldier, Master Sergeant Myers, an absolute hero. And I was pinning the retirement medal on his uniform. And I asked him for the first time, and I'd known him for years. I said, so what are you doing now? And his answer was, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. My first reply was to smack him and say, hey, dummy, what have you been thinking about the last 20 years? But my second thought was, wow, you know what? As a leader, I probably should have asked him that question before today. So we're trying to kind of re-engineer the program so that leaders ask that question. What advice would you have for leaders? And I mean squad leaders, platoon sergeants, platoon leaders, first sergeant, all the way up the food chain. What kind of questions, what can they do to help their soldiers?
Well, I think your question was a great one. You know, what are you doing next? Asking the service member, what are your plans? Do you have a job? Do you have housing set up? Do you know how to get a housing set up? Do you know how to get a job? And then guiding them to the TAP office. And I always tell the leaders too, when I speak with them, when you're assisting a service member in their own transition, you're also paving the way for your transition when you're getting ready to retire. So if they're walking a service member through TAP, you know, they're staying connected, they're staying engaged, then they know, hey, I can start at 24 months out. Hey, I can do a career skills program. I can learn about my VA benefits. And that has a ripple effect to where not only that one service member is set up for success, but their unit, their company, their leadership, everyone is reaping the benefit of that.
Well, that's a great question. Not only is it helping the soldier, but it's also helping the leader think about it so that they themselves are more prepared. I know in my case, my last civilian job before I retired was cutting grass. And they didn't even have weed eaters or zero-turn mowers when I was cutting grass. And then fast forward, you know, multiple decades later, and I'm trying to figure out what to do. And leaders and soldiers, young and old, still have to think about and wrap their head around, what do you want to do? I tell people, and we've studied, there are three questions. And you need to prioritize them as soon as possible, soldiers and leaders. Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? Or how much money do I need to make? One of those three is more important. Whichever one's more important is going to drive everything else. So let me ask you a question, Allie. Of the things that soldiers want to do post-transition, I guess probably work, school, maybe go fishing, maybe a few other things. What do you think is the most popular? What's the biggest thing that most soldiers want to do? What's the most popular kind of next step in life that you see?
I would say the one that I see the most frequently is employment. You know, everyone's got to make money. Everyone's got to pay for their bills and their house and all that good stuff. So, of course, employment. And when a service member does indicate to us that that is their main focus, we have a host of tools out there for them. So even when they're just going through the main TAP workshops, they're going through a DOL class. So they're getting a basic overview of resume writing, interview prep, job application portals. You know, maybe they didn't ever have to use things like Indeed before, but we're introducing that to them. And if they're going through that class and they're saying, I need more support, we have a two-day employment workshop, which really, really helps them delve in, really feel comfortable, really feel prepared. And if they're going through that one-day workshop and that two-day workshop and they say, hey, I still need more, we also have additive classes. So we have classes that specifically focus on federal resume writing. We have classes that focus on getting ready for interviews and for generalized resume writing, even if they're not looking at the federal world. And so by the time that service member has gone through TAP, they're offered a host of different employment workshops, as well as two-day tracks that can help them with things like preparing for education, preparing to enter a trade, or even starting their own business. And I'll say that one is very popular too with our service members.
Good. You know, veterans are more successful entrepreneurs than non-veterans. That's something to think about. So while it's hard to do right out of uniform, it's still something in the long run that you can prepare for now and be ready for later. A lot of those things you mentioned are not mutually exclusive. So I'm guessing that you can have a job and still simultaneously go to school, go to night school. People do that all over. I did that. So how do you handle somebody who wants to do both? They want to get a job and have to pay the bills and all that, but they also want to get a degree or maybe learn a trade. So they want to do a little bit of both. How does that work?
That's a great question. And so with our TAP workshops, service members are not limited to just one. They can take every single class that we have out there, and they can even take them a couple of times if they need to. So if I have a service member who tells me, I want to work, but I also want to get my master's degree, I want to get my bachelor's degree, then I would say, great, let's get you set up for the employment workshop and for the education workshop. And if you still have questions, let me walk you over to our education office, and you can chat with the education counselors and get your questions answered one-on-one.
You know, you made a great point there, and that is you're not limited to how much TAP you do. With our tier system, you're mandated to do different things, but you're not limited only to those things. Again, back to my TAP is like PT metaphor, which gets better and better every time I tell it. There's no penalty if you do an extra couple of minutes of push-ups every day, you know, 6 months ago. It doesn't hurt your PT test. It can only help. And similarly, if you go back again or you take, you know, I'm thinking about small business, probably not right away, but I know sometime I want to. Go ahead and take the class. That's why it's there. That's why we offer it. So it's impossible to have too much. It's very possible not to have enough. So always err on the side of more. Even when I retired, long before the current TAP was around, I did every single thing I could, and it proved worthwhile. So I would encourage the same thing. That's several great points. You know, you've mentioned a couple of times, Allie, the career skills program. So I'm going to ask you some thoughts on that, and just I'll do a brief intro about what it is, of course. So Congress has allowed our Army just fairly recently, actually about two or three, I guess 3 years ago, to allow soldiers to get career skills training while they're still in uniform. So their place of duty is learning a skill, a trade, a saleable skill that might not have anything to do with what they do or did in the Army. So this career skills program, which is also called the Department of Defense Skill Bridge, the Army's career skills is older, and that's what we called it. And then DOD came in and copied the Army and called it Skill Bridge, but that's okay. It partners with industry, and there's a few kind of rules involved. Industry pays for the bill. The Army doesn't pay for the training. The Army gives the soldiers time and benefits, and we'll typically give a classroom or motor pool or something like that. I'd like to ask you, what are your thoughts of the CSP program? Do soldiers like it? Does it work? Good, bad, or ugly? What are your thoughts?
I'm so glad you asked. So the Career Skills Program is my passion. I'm passionate about TAP, but CSP is really where I'm so focused and so invested, because with my spouse being active duty, I know at some point my family is going to be utilizing these tools as well. Yeah. And I will say one of the things that I've heard from service members is that the Skill Bridge program, the Career Skills program, is the best thing that the DoD has ever provided. Because if you think about it, what other job is going to give you, you know, a certain amount of time off where you can go learn another skill, get ready to start a new job, while they're still paying your salary and your benefits?
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah, that's a good deal. So, you know, I said 100,000 soldiers last year, about 100,000 soldiers took off their uniform and rejoined civilian life. And I say rejoin because even crusty old soldiers, we all started as civilians at one point. Of those 100,000, something like 8,000 or 9,000 did a CSP. So not quite 10%, say. And I think the hiring rate is something like 95% of those people got a job offer. So huge return on investment. But of course, we can't send 100,000 people because some of them take weeks and weeks and months and months. So we've identified the main effort for the CSP. The people we're trying to send more than anybody else is really the younger junior soldier who either doesn't have or doesn't want to use their MOS specialty skill as a civilian. If you're an Army bulldozer driver and you want to be a civilian bulldozer driver, that's a pretty short link. You know, you can make that, but if you're an Army bulldozer driver and you want to be a Microsoft developer, that's a different link. So you may need a career skills program there. So how do you see kind of the focus on the main effort? What's the advantage of that as opposed to older, more senior, maybe retirees or senior NCOs, officers or something like that?
Well, like you said, you know, a lot of these soldiers who are getting out of their first contract, they may not have any previous civilian experience at all to build from. And if they're coming out of an MOS that may be focused on artillery or infantry, even though they may have excelled in that MOS, it may be really hard for them to translate those skills back into the civilian world. So when they utilize that career skills program, that is allowing them to get connected with an industry, not only learn skills, but network. So in these career skills programs, they're also, in many of them, learning how to tailor their resume. They're being introduced to industry leaders or to future employers. And so by the time they're leaving that career skills program with a new skill set, with certifications, and with confidence, too, that they're able to go out and tackle the civilian workforce, oftentimes they're walking straight into a new job. And that's giving them, that's giving their family that peace of mind to really transition well and transition smoothly and to be successful.
Yeah, once again, you've made about 30 great points there. I'm going to hone in on one of them. You said networking. Boy, that's the million-dollar word right there and so valuable. You remember the three questions I mentioned to prioritize: where do you want to live, what do you want to do, or how much money do you need to make? And as soon as the soldier prioritizes and figures out which one's most important, they can network in that circle. The circle might be a geographic circle, literally a, a, a zip code or a city limits or something like that, or it might be in a professional circle. Maybe I really want to be a welder, don't really care where. So if you go to a welding CSP, you learn the industry, you learn the skills, and you also learn the industry, and then you find out where the best opportunities, East Coast, West Coast, Alaska, Florida, who knows? So back to, you start early and prioritize those three questions, and then you can really exploit your opportunities. And there are so many opportunities. I'm going to wrap up here in just a couple of minutes, but I want to make a couple of statements on CSPs. And then I'm going to ask you, Allie, for kind of your last minute advice to soldiers, because they're listening right now. You got a whole bunch of them all over the world. They want to know, what do I do? What do I do? So in a minute, you'll get to tell them. So for commanders, though, and leaders first, I want to just put in a couple of comments about the Career Skills Program / Skill Bridge. And this applies to either of those. And one is, shorter is better. Just like with TAP, we talked about go early, go often. With CSP, the rule of thumb is shorter is better. So from a leader's perspective, I can let one soldier do a CSP for 4 months, or I can let four soldiers do a CSP for 1 month apiece. It's still the same number of empty spots in my formation. But the question is, do I want to help one or four? Well, obviously the answer is I want to help four. So installations, when you're coordinating with industries and vice versa, and leaders when you're talking to your soldiers and vice versa, just remember the objective is to learn the basic career skill that allows a soldier to get a great job, not necessarily to master that skill. That might take years and years and years, but to learn enough of it. So to that end, in fact, any skill bridge or CSP that's over 120 days, the G1 of the Army himself has to put his John Hancock approving it. So just imagine all the echelons between you and the G1, and that's how hard that is. So again, shorter is better for CSPs. They are great. 95% or so job application. That's pretty hard to beat. But we want to keep the number at somewhere, I don't know, 10-ish percent, really the at-risk, the people who need it most of the active Army. So, Allie, it just so happens that you've got an opportunity here to share your wisdom, expertise, and advice to soldiers who are going to or maybe are in the transition window, and to leaders who lead those soldiers, and they themselves will also be in that window. So just a couple of takeaways. What do you think they need to know?
Well, for the soldiers, I know we keep harping on this, but my best advice really is go early, you know, get started early and go often. I think one of the main comments that I get from service members when they're getting ready to complete TAP is, I wish I had started TAP earlier. And so when they get started early, you know, we can really help them hone in on what is the best resources for them, what is best for their transition and their family. And then they can have a nice, smooth, peaceful, calm transition process as much as possible. And for leaders, kind of on that same note, assist your soldiers in going early and going often, because then you're setting them up for success. You're learning about the tools and resources out there early for your own transition. And hey, it helps retention too, right? When these soldiers are going back home to their families and they can say, I'm so glad I joined the Army. I got a GI Bill. I got an internship. I got a job. I got a great network. Then these friends and family members they're talking to are going to perk their ears up. And, you know, that may be your next generation of service members.
Boy, what a great closing comment. That's our next generation of soldiers right there. The ones who talk to their older mentors and who leave on a good note. Boy, you summed it up nicely. I tell you, we have picked another home run hit for our podcast here. Allie, you are awesome. I so much appreciate your service, your team service there at Fort Liberty, and your peers all over our Army. You know, our soldiers are our national treasure. They are what every industry wants to get, and that is the American soldier. And they are lucky, the soldiers are lucky to have people like you who are so passionate and so focused on helping them. One last note to soldiers, we can take you to the water, but you got to drink it on your own. And Allie's going to line it up for you, and she's going to tell you all about it, but you've got to actually do it. Again, kind of like PT, we can give you the time and the feel, but you're the ones who are going to have to get down there and burn those muscles to get stronger. So, Allie, thank you so much for your time. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Send this to your friends. I think there's a lot of good information that soldiers, about 100,000 a year, every one of our soldiers eventually are going to need to know this. So we look forward to seeing you all again at our next podcast in the next month or month and a half or so. That'll be fun. And until then, thank you so much. Be all that you can be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this podcast will provide valuable guidance and support as you navigate through your transition process. The Transition Assistance Program is dedicated to helping you achieve success and find fulfillment in your post-military life. We are here to support you, so please don't hesitate to reach out to your local TAP Center if you have any questions. Once again, thank you for joining and stay tuned for the next episode of TAP Talk.